And we are now live.
Woo.
Hooray!
Huzzah! Hello and welcome to Circulus Pack Tactics, a 5th edition homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. Some people play Dungeons & Dragons to kill monsters. Some people play Dungeons & Dragons to escape monsters. And still others play Dungeons & Dragons to be monsters. And today, everyone's playing a kobold.
So we're doing all three.
Pretty much. With me are four fantastic people, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Oh, me. Hello. I'm Akari, or Chris, or however you want to call me. I am playing Sok, the kobold monk. We're level three now.
Oh, I guess I'm next. I'm Jen. I'm playing Gox, who is a male kobold barbarian, and he and Sox are brothers, or at least they think so. Kobolds, it's a little weird. My preferred pronouns are she and her, and Gox's are he and him.
Hi, I'm Noel. I play Daldane, the kobold bard, and you're listening to KBLDFM.
You never burned that point of inspiration I gave you last week, did you?
No, he still has it.
I can't give you more than one. You can't stockpile them.
She can try.
Hi, I'm Io. I'm playing Zili Ikta, a kobold sorcerer. So let's set some stuff on fire, huh?
Yeah.
That might actually happen tonight. I have concerns.
Just not us.
Hey, have I ever set you on fire?
No, but I have PTSD from Meeple setting us all on
fire. Oh, yeah, the other campaign. Meeple lights things on fire a lot.
To be fair, she's not the one with the wand of fireballs.
No, no.
Oh, so she can do it naturally, which is terrifying.
I don't think she has fireball. I think she got fireball.
Nope. It's firebolts. Yeah, so she can just do it all day if she wants.
Hey, I also have a cantrip that lets me take the fires away.
I don't know if Meepo has that one.
Or you can make it spread
Well, there's her problem.
Well, sometimes it's not really a problem, but anyway.
And a good time was had by all. All right, so in our last session, our intrepid band of four, which is going to need a name for themselves, possibly. I'll let you discuss that amongst yourselves later. You managed to solve a couple problems, one of which led into the other, which was the kobolds of the Chipped Claw clan, which had adopted you, didn't have enough food to last the winter. Also, something had eaten all of their food and a few other kobolds, so those are two promising to be solved. You found a gibbering mouther and managed to dispatch that. It was not very edible, though, because you don't eat talking meat. There was some debate about when it stops talking, is it fair game? But never mind about that. But you also did manage to, after killing one or two other things, find enough treasure that looked like it apparently had been stockpiled by a farmer. You found enough silver that was theoretically enough for you to buy enough food to last through the winter. What happened in between last week and this week is some time has passed. It's been a couple weeks in-game. You did, in fact, find enough silver to purchase enough food for the winter. You yourselves didn't purchase it. You gave the silver to the clerics of Bahamut that are in the temple above you that the kobolds had been helping to construct during the warmer seasons. And they were able to go into town and buy supplies and bring it back. And there was even some silver to spare, which has been put in a communal trust if the kobolds need to purchase anything else. It wasn't a whole lot, but they didn't come back and say, oh, yeah, we got as much as we could. We spent all of the money. We really did. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No. There was some left over. Apparently, Bahamut does not endorse cheating other beings, so they were on the up and up about that. Now, you've got a couple things going on. First of all, you're all well-fed. And for kobolds, this is fantastic. You got a bit of room for the clan to expand, which is also fantastic. But it is very cold. Winter is setting in. You've had the first snowfall of the season. It was a light snow. It was only about 4 feet deep, which is taller than many kobolds in general. So there aren't many kobolds that are willing to go up to the surface right now, not when you're cold-blooded creatures. So you've been pretty much hanging out in your lair. You don't need to explore too much because you've already got all the food you need to last until it gets warm again, and you don't really have many places to go anyway. And one can imagine that gets boring quickly.
Yeah, I kind of suspect Zaylee's been spending a lot of the time getting into sort of argument-adjacent things with Tess, our so-called sorcerer leader.
I find this fascinating. What kind of arguments would these be?
Well, mostly, Zeele is a show-off, and Tess can't actually do sorcery. And Zeele thinks the response to this is to show off around him a lot to annoy him.
I'm going to come back to you and ask you in a little bit how you show off in particular.
All right.
But what is everyone else doing to sort of stem the tide of boredom?
I feel like Sox is probably getting into some fights, just baiting people just because he's bored.
And there's a significant amount of that going around, actually. So if you want to pick a fight, the clan is sort of splitting into factions, and you would think that it would be divided between the old Chipped Claw, which are predominantly green, and the incomers that came from Serene the Flying City, which are a kaleidoscope of colors. But at some point, I'm going to have to ask what colors each of your kobolds are. I'm not going to.
The brothers are brown.
Okay.
Dark brown with some, or light brown with some dark brown scales or something like that.
Okay.
Red.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Cool.
And what color is Daldane?
Red.
Okay. So cool. Two red and two brown.
I think that's what I said.
All right. So basically what you're saying is you're at Autumn's?
I guess so.
All right. This works.
Okay. So if Sox is getting into fights with other kobolds, then Gox is right there with him.
That works out great. Now, as I was saying, you'd think it'd be divided between the old school clan and the new recruits. And in some cases it is, but that's kind of rare. Considering how much the group has worked together as a whole, especially at the point where you had to get food and you had to find what was attacking you. You came together for a common cause, so that eliminated the division that was there earlier. Also, the kobolds from the Chipped Claw clan, and kobolds of Circulus in general, but Chipped Claw especially, for generations, any kobold that sort of tried to stick up for itself and the well-being of the clan got torn apart. So they kind of backed down a lot in a lot of cases. And they're starting to feel their own a little bit more now that they aren't being brutally murdered as much as they were before. Kobolds in general tend to be at the lowest point of the pecking order. But they were at the lowest point of the lowest points. They were getting bullied by other kobold clans and other things too. The biggest division that's going on right now is some of the newcomers are still adamant worshippers of Kritolmak, the god of kobolds. And a little bit of backstory for anyone who listens to this that does not know this. Kritolmak was a kobold at one point, didn't like the fact that kobolds were at the bottom of the pecking order, and decided, hey, we need a race that's below us, so we're not at the bottom anymore. And Kritolmak decided the great thing to do would be to pick on the gnomes, because they looked kind of weak too. And Garl Glittergold said, I don't think so, and trapped Kritolmak in a maze for all eternity. Which kind of sucks if you're a god, because you can't really give out your divine powers to people if you're trapped. So there aren't a lot of kobold clerics, let's put it that way. You don't pray to Ktolmuk and get your spells answered. There were some kobolds that sort of became clerics of Tiamat because Ktolmuk was a servant of Tiamat to begin with, and that kind of works. But when you are a race that pretty much gets one shot by adventurers, you don't have a lot of opportunities to cast healing spells usually, unless you take levels in adventurer, which apparently happens. So in any case, the adherents of Ktolmuk are led by a kobold named Taklak. For those of you taking notes, Chris, that is spelled T-A-K-L-A-K. He's not the only one, but he's the oldest of them, so he's the one that a lot of them defer to. There are some kobolds that have been getting a bit more chummy with the clerics above you of Bahamut, because really, what has Ktolmuk done for you recently? Or, so far as you know, ever? And the clerics of Bahamut gave them a place to stay and have been accepting of them and trusting them and helped them out when they could. And this is not exactly what you expect the enemy to do. So some of them has started converting, as one does when you've got two bigs and one of them's closer to you. And the ones that are sort of converted to Bahamut are led by a kobold named Siv, S-I-V. And she's been calling herself a cleric, which means Taklak couldn't be one-upped, and Taklak started calling himself a cleric. You've never seen either of them cast a spell. So maybe they are, maybe they're not. You have no clue. But they call themselves clerics. And Tess has been dealing with this inner strife, which wouldn't be an issue if you had some outside force that you could fight against, by trying to play both sides against each other to keep them away from him. However, anyone who cares to, roll me an investigation check.
Or no, okay.
Insight check.
Insight? Okay.
Insight.
I have...
Investigation?
No, it's going to be insight for this.
Okay, but 10 plus 2. Nope, sorry. 10, I think it's a minus. It's a minus 2.
7 plus 1 is 8.
21.
Okay, so everyone who rolls 10 or higher, your understanding of this is that Tess is not very good at playing both sides against each other. You're fairly certain that Tess's idea of doing this is agree with Taklak once, and then agree with Siv once, and then agree with Taklak once, and then agree with Siv once. And that doesn't work out so well. And how am I doing this? Zili, with your very high roll, your roll of 21, you are fairly certain that Taklak and Siv have also caught on to this. So they're sort of playing a game against each other where they're kind of like when it's Taklak's turn, where Taklak is going to get what Taklak wants, you sort of lowball it because you know the next thing you ask for, you're going to be the one that gets it. So they're going back and forth like that. But there also have been a bunch of fights that have broken out. There are a few kobolds that have disappeared from both sides. Which sides are you taking? Or do you take a side?
Zili kind of doesn't really care about gods. Gods are like a thing, she guesses, but they're not something that seems particularly important to her. It's like, yeah, sure, gods. They exist. They don't seem to be particularly helpful, though she doesn't really care.
They're like other planets. You know they're out there, but what have they ever done for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
And Ktolmuk is Pluto. It doesn't really count as a god much anyway anymore.
Oh.
He's a dwarf demigod.
All right.
Actually, well, no, that would make him god of dwarves.
Well, Gox loves fighting, so he doesn't care what god people are with. He just wants to fight. Fun for barbarians.
And Sox loves fighting and stealing, so.
Okay, only person we haven't heard from is Daldane.
Daldane is standing back and taking notes so that she can write the story afterwards.
Oh, smart.
Good call.
Okay, so we have two neutral parties and, from the sounds of it, two entrepreneurs. I'm okay with this.
Was this it the stealing?
All right, so we are in a situation where not all of the kobolds, but a significant number are gathered around in the main chamber having a meal. And Tess is... Now, kobolds don't tend to ride horses, but Tess is somehow on a high horse. And, you know, going around and giving orders that don't need to be given because people were doing that anyway. But now it looks like Tess is in charge because Tess gave orders. And one kobold isn't moving fast enough, according to Tess. They were moving perfectly fast. So Tess shoots Tess's equivalent of a magic missile at them, and they yelp. And this is where I'm coming back to Zeely and asking, so how do you show off in response?
Zeely has decided that the place we're currently in needs to look nicer. And Zeely has decided to accomplish that by basically prestidigitation and mold earth to put interesting designs on the walls. She's not really an artist, so they don't look that great. She just is bored and kind of ignoring whatever stupid orders thing Tess is on right now.
I like this imagery. It's kind of like a small child coloring on the walls with crayon, but give that child magic to actually move the walls around, and instead of having a drawing of their family on the wall, suddenly you have a bas-relief sculpture.
Basically, the walls now have a sort of magical equivalent of crayon drawing of our great battle against the gibbering mouther.
Fantastic. I love this imagery. I'm sure you'll impress Meepo when she returns to check.
Oh, they're going to be good friends, I can tell already.
Yeah. It's going to be a weird dynamic because technically right now, Meepo is a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
But Zeely is older.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Well, Meepo's had a sorcerer friend who was older, you know, wasn't a kobold.
This is true. This is true. So Tess looks at what you've done and starts critiquing your artwork. There's no way it was that large. Make it small. Make it more realistic.
Were you there? Did you fight it?
Did you fight something that large? Clearly you did not. I'm the leader. I'm right.
I was there. It was large enough to eat me.
Well, I'm sure it was stretchy.
I don't know.
I tried to look relatively close to the size of it.
That's a good question. Did you exaggerate it, or did you go for realism?
It's about how Zeely remembers it, which is probably bigger than it actually was.
Okay. So Tess is trying to be mean, but doesn't know that he's right. He's right because he's right, not because he's actually right.
Because Zeely remembers giant thing that ate a whole entire gox.
So, knowing that it's a bit too big, Sox walks up to it and just kind of holds his chin, just kind of looks around a little bit. Yeah, it's about right. It did eat my brother. It is about right.
Mm-hmm. See?
But your brother's right there.
Yeah, I punched it.
You had another brother?
Huh?
We punched it and it came out. He came out.
It was an excellent decision.
It was a heroic rescue.
Do you want me to show you what I did? And I just put my fists up and kind of shake him around a little bit.
Wait, what? Sorry. I didn't hear all that.
Tess puts both fists on his hips and says, "Are you threatening the leader?"
"No, I'm asking you if you want me to show you what I did."
And I'm walking up behind my brother and holding my battle axe and staring at Tess.
"I'm asking you if you want me to show you what I did to the thing."
And at this point, because a lot of people are bored and fights are a method of entertainment, and it looks like one of them's about to start, a lot of the other kobolds are sort of like putting down their food or stepping back a little bit or stepping forward a little bit. And
Now, let's give him a chance.
Some bets being made in the background.
He thinks this isn't done right. He can just fix it, right?
Yeah, if you're such an awesome sorcerer, make it the right size.
He looks at you, he looks over at the sculpture, and he looks at you. I don't have that spell prepared. He sort of stomps off.
Mm-hmm.
Sorcerers don't prepare spells, you...
This one does! And he's left the chamber.
I'm just going to walk over easily, put my hand over. I got you, honey.
Oh, well, no fight. I go back to eating food.
Zaylee looks extremely pleased with herself and continues to create a somewhat stick figure-y dramatization of what occurred.
Awesome.
Daldane walks over to one of the other kobolds. So, Tess couldn't stand up to a little girl, huh?
I love it.
That kobold shrugs and says, Tess is older.
But if he's that much older, should he be in power?
He's old because no one killed him yet. No one's killed him. He knows how to survive. And if he knows how to survive, he can help us survive. He didn't stand up to the little girl, like you said, but at the same time, he's still breathing. Maybe sometimes it's not a good idea to stand up. Last time I saw a kobold stand up, they got ripped in half. Sometimes it's better to sit down.
Well, last time I saw a kobold stand up, they beat a monster. If that's the kind of leadership you want, fine by me.
That kobold just shrugs.
Slowly becoming my favorite character.
I think there is a Venn diagram that contains many characters that are all Chris's favorites. But...
Have you not noticed, though?
There's a lot of them.
Have you not noticed, though? It's usually either gnomes, kobolds, or elves. Because Meepo is my favorite in our campaign, along with Punk.
All the characters in our campaigns have their own little bits of flavor that they bring to it, and I love this game so much. I love that I get to play this with my friends. With that said, the rest of the day goes off incredibly boring. There's two small skirmishes, but people settle down quickly, so it wasn't really that big a deal. The next morning, Tess isn't there.
Huh.
Now, and maybe he's still sulking.
It's possible.
Maybe someone killed him.
Wasn't me.
That rumor starts to spread very quickly. It's possible that Sox was not the first person to guess that. But sometime after Sox suggests that was a possibility, you hear other people suggesting it to you. And day goes on, no sign of Tess. There are some comments from various kobolds about how it's nice to not get a magic missile to the spine every now and then.
I then remind them that his magic missiles weren't that great.
And that also was appreciated, because if they were, there'd be fewer kobolds. It's hard to tone down a magic missile on purpose.
Roll really.
The trouble we're having is that we keep forgetting that this is a race that has grovel, cower, and beg as a racial ability.
It's a racial, yeah, absolutely.
I'm just looking for the best opportunity to use that.
And as adventurers, you are much more assertive and more willing to stick up for yourselves than the average kobold. And you are in a clan of roughly 50 average kobolds. Well, closer to 49 now, because Tess is still missing when the day ends. And the next morning, there's a lot more tension, and it doesn't take long for you to realize that it's mainly because the two kobolds that I mentioned earlier at the start of the session, Taklak and Siv, are both claiming to be the same age.
How old are they?
Well, kobolds in general don't always judge things by years. Meepo's a bit of an exception to that.
Mm-hmm.
what they often do is, as they lose their teeth naturally, they're kind of like sharks in that regard. When they lose a tooth, there's always another one coming in afterwards. So their mouths are probably horror shows, but that's okay. it works for them. And when they lose a tooth, they will often put it on a necklace. And there have been a few cases where kobolds made fake teeth to put on their necklaces, but then they get find out that things don't end well for them. In this case, however, Taklak and Siv have both had their necklaces counted by more than one kobold, particularly ones that were better in math than Tess was, and they have the same number of teeth.
What's the number?
I don't want to say something canonically because I don't know the ratio off the top of my head. But we'll say it's large enough that they're both older than you guys are.
Okay.
Okay.
By a significant amount, actually.
All right.
At least I haven't looked at your character sheets for ages. I'm assuming none of you is around 50.
Oh.
I don't know, kobolds look that long.
They can live like 250 years or so. They rarely do, but they can.
Yeah. Well, Gox is 7, and he has the necklace to prove it.
Sox is 5.
Well, you're not sure exactly how old these two are, but they have a lot more teeth than you do.
Hmm.
And it's a bit of a problem, because a lot of kobold clans pick their leader based on who's the oldest, who has the most teeth. It looks like it might be a split, but there's not room in here for two clans. And you don't have anywhere else to go. It's too cold.
I don't want a war.
Gok could punch one of them and knock some teeth out.
But which one do you punch? That's the question.
We could just punch both of them.
Gok's
but then they lose the same amount of teeth.
And whoever loses the least teeth is the new leader.
But the one who lost the most teeth would have more teeth on their necklace.
Therefore, they would be the leader.
Hmm. Look, what if they fight each other?
I'll do the singing. I'm not good at math.
Oh, it looks like that might happen before the day is over.
All right. A battle. I am so bored.
Yeah. Is it going to get to the point where we're just going to be hitting everyone?
As the leader of the group, I suggest that we go find Tuss.
Whoa. Who said you're the leader of the group?
Well, nobody else is the leader of the group.
How old are you?
I am 7. See? 1, 2... three. And I like shake the necklace out of you. 7! 7. 7.
I'm 5. And I show the necklace.
Baldon is 15.
Oh.
What about you, Zeely?
12.
Well,
I just thought of so many internet memes right now.
As the leader of the group, I suggest that we go find Tess.
Can we kill him? He's annoying.
No, that's the problem. These people gonna kill each other?
Fine. Can I at least steal stuff?
You are very good at that, brother. I believe you can. I believe in you. You can steal stuff.
We bring back Tess. We don't gotta give him back all his stuff, I guess.
That's the attitude I like.
All right. So, if you're gonna go find Tess, well, if Tess went above ground, chances are there's a testicle. I just realized that could be said wrong.
Stupid, but he's not that stupid.
So he's
probably down here.
Okay. Well, you do know there's a tunnel system, and you didn't explore all of it. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry. And he says my puns are bad. He doesn't like them.
That one was really good.
Well, onwards. We have an idiot to find.
Okay.
Okay, for the record, at this point, because of the things that have been said so far, Zeely and Gox, you both have inspiration.
Oh, good.
You already have inspiration, Jen.
I thought I did, yeah. I'll have to use that.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, two idiots we go.
Okay.
Can kobolds whistle?
That is a very good question.
I don't think we've established that with Meepo one way or the other, so I don't know.
Well, if you scroll up a little bit in Discord, you can see the map that I shared before.
Ah, yes.
And the sort of sideways cross thing in the lower right corner is where that's the main kobold area. Imagine that there are maybe more circular alcove rooms than what the map shows to accommodate enough kobolds, but, you know, simplicity's sake.
Okay.
Does Tess have, like, a special area just for him because he's the leader or something like that?
Yes. Yes, he did. It was an alcove like all the others, but it was the one that, if you go east in that long hallway, the alcove to the south, as far east as you could go, that was Tess's.
Might I suggest we go and look where he's...
Yeah, maybe he is just sulking.
Okay.
It did embarrass him pretty bad.
It was pretty fun.
Okay, so you go and check out Tess's room. You walk in, and the first thing you see is... Actually, just make an investigation check first.
Okay.
And I'm gonna ask for numbers... Okay. In sections.
Okay.
So you're gonna ask for numbers.
I'm going to say, well, who got in this range, and I'm gonna tell you what you see.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
One plus six is seven.
Okay. Did anyone get between one and five?
No.
All right.
I rolled a natural one. I'm struck blind.
Oh no.
Oh. I listened to your numbers, and I didn't listen to your numbers.
Yes.
Okay. I heard one and six, and I thought, okay, so we got a six and added one. No.
No.
Never mind. All right. So, yeah, Daldane walks in, and she goes, this is Tess's room. Who got between six and ten? Anyone?
Me.
All right. You think this is Tess's room, and Tess is messy even for a kobold. Considering that there's one person who hasn't said anything yet when asking for numbers, what was Sox's role?
16.
You have a habit of doing this. High perception checks and everything. All right, so...
15 plus 1, I'm sorry.
You don't think that Tess kept the room like this. You think it's been ransacked a bit.
Huh.
Almost as if people were like, well, Tess is missing. He might not miss the things that he has in here.
Someone beat me to the pillage.
So he's not just not cleaning up? Because no. He doesn't seem like someone who would clean up.
This place has been ransacked. They've taken things. Can I have a look around and see if there's anything else of value that might still be here that I could pinch?
I would say give me another investigation check.
It's called better, 18.
Oh, 18? Now, you don't find anything in here that you think would be of significant value to you. You find a few things that you look at and like, well, maybe... wait, is that a bite mark? No, never mind.
Is there any food? No. I should roll something. No? Okay.
No. However... with a roll of 18, you do notice that one of these walls does not look quite like the other.
Huh.
One of those things is not like the other. One of those things just isn't the same.
Can I put my ear up against the wall?
Sure.
Do I hear anything?
I'm not going to make you roll again because this would be three rolls in a row, and I think that's a bit redundant. So I'm going to say, with your natural ability as a kobold to understand what's going on in underground situations, you can tell that this wall isn't as thick as many of the walls in the main living area. There's a space on the other side.
Hey, why are you listening to the wall? Is there something else?
Not as thick as everything else. I think there's a room back.
Huh, but Tessa's room is supposed to be the last... Oh, well, only one way to find out what's on the other side.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I forgot about this feature.
And I walk back.
Is it a feature or a bug?
I follow my brother to wherever he went.
Zili is a little bit miffed at people's lack of faith in her. She does not throw a firebolt at the wall. She instead casts Mold Earth.
That spell is going to get a lot of usage in this campaign setting. I'm going to throw that
out
there.
I agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good choice. It was a very good choice. Okay, so the wall pretty much disintegrates. Hmm. And as it tumbles down, you notice that there's also some hinges and a latch that tumble down with it. There was a secret door there. The secret door is now not so secret and more of a hallway.
Good job. Huh.
Eh, serves him right for keeping the door a secret.
True. True.
The increasingly inaccurately named secret door.
Mm.
Well, the way you've made it, at this point, Tessa's room just got a lot larger is what happened.
So is it a hallway? Is it a natural path we can go down?
It opens into what appears to be a natural cave. Mm-hmm. That it's not as large as the one that had the giant pillar of stalactite and stalagmite that you were in last week. It's not even as large as the chamber where you were growing mushrooms, but it's larger than most of the areas in your living quarters.
Tess was keeping a whole extra room.
And this chamber also has a exit to the east and an exit to the south. To the south, you think you hear the sound of running water.
Hmm. South, you said, for running water?
I'm sorry?
South, you said, for running water?
South is running water. East, you don't hear anything. Well, at least not a whole lot of anything.
Let's check south first.
I agree.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So you head south, and you find a much larger chamber. To the west, it extends further than your dark vision can see. So you don't know how far that goes. The eastern side of this chamber has an underground river flowing through it. And just at the edge of your dark vision, you see the southernmost wall of this chamber. And you think you see a side passage leading to the east from this chamber also. You would have to go through the water or over a bridge. Not saying any of you is skilled in bridge making. So you could go back the way you came, or you could bridge yourself east, or you could go west.
Well, he can't make bridges, so he wouldn't be over there.
Let's go west for now.
Okay. As you go west, the chamber slowly sort of tapers where the southernmost wall is slowly moving north. The northernmost wall is a lot more irregular, but it's slowly moving south. So picture, if you will, a triangle drawn by a three-year-old. Has a bit more corners than a triangle should have, but you appreciate the effort they put into it.
There's a solid attempt there.
What's this?
Like, it's a solid attempt at a triangle, but it's not a triangle.
It might have actually been an attempt at a circle, but they're getting that muscle memory. They're firing those synapses for the first time, and it's a developmental thing. But this is the result that you see. After you go a little ways, you do see an opening to the north, or you can continue west where, at the very edge of what your dark vision can see, you think it narrows into what would be normally a corridor. You wouldn't call it a room past that point.
So wait, if the kobolds that lived here make the tunnels, why did they make this one and then live in small tunnel instead?
Well, the story
this one's a secret.
Then who made it?
The story that was given to you by the Chipped Claw was when they came here, they started digging their settlement underneath where the temple was being built. And in the process, they did find some natural caves that are in the area. So where you live is all kobold dug, And theoretically, they know what's there because they built it, so it's safer. The caverns, at the time that they were doing most of the digging, they didn't have enough kobolds to really risk doing a full exploration. So they sealed off the caves they found and said, we'll deal with that later. And to get to the cave where they were growing the mushrooms, you actually had to go through one of those sealed off doors.
Oh. Okay. So these Dux nods his head and goes, now I remember. Okay.
Can I tell if these are worked walls?
These are not.
Okay.
If someone carved these walls out, they did so in a way to make it look like they were natural. Like if you go to, let's say you go to Fantasy Disney World and you enter one of the attractions that's made to look like you're inside a cave. It might look like this, but probably not.
Gotcha. Okay. Baldwin thinks we should go north.
Okay.
North!
Okay. Which way north?
Into the tunnel.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you go north and you come to a door.
I have come to a door.
Another door.
It's a very familiar door.
Oh. Well.
You've seen this door before. You've seen this door a lot. But you've always seen it from the other side.
Ah. Well, I open the door.
Okay. So if you look again at that map, at that cross-shaped structure where most of you live,
mm-hmm.
there's a stairway that leads up on the west. Mm-hmm. And it goes north into that other room that then goes west into the mushroom room. If you, instead of going north, went south, you'd be right where you are now.
This is just
I get it.
You've gone in a circle.
I know. That's okay. Oh, a circle. Okay.
That's fine. At least now I'm oriented with regards to the existing map.
Yeah, my head hurt there for a minute.
This is one of those things where if we were using Roll 20 or something like that, it would be a little bit easier to show you and change things, but I can't be bothered.
You had all summer.
Most people already had a Discord account. I didn't want to tell everyone, hey, everyone, you have to make an account on this thing also if you want to play. I kind of already had to do that with D&D Beyond.
Yeah. Okay, so we're back.
It's not going to be in your head all day.
So we're back where we started.
Well, yes and no. You've gone back to the settlement, but you're on the opposite side of the settlement.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So let's head back south into the Deutero Triangle.
Okay. So from here, you've gone back south. You can go east. And back that way, you'll have a tunnel that goes north and a tunnel that goes east across the underground river. Or you can go west.
Mm-hmm. I say we keep west going before. West.
Okay. It's hard to decide where the room stops and the corridor begins. There's a lot of overlap in that Venn diagram. But eventually, you mm-hmm. are going through a corridor or a tunnel rather than a large room. And it sort of turns at a 90-degree angle into a small chamber. The walls here are more dirt than stone. And you get the sense that this room was larger at one point. There may have been a cave in. And you do see the remnants of some stairs.
Going up or down?
Up.
Okay.
Then up we go!
Okay. You notice that this room is also much colder than the other caves.
This room cold.
My worry is that this might be the surface.
You cut out there.
We lost you there.
This room might be taking us to the surface. I don't want to go there.
With how much cold is leaking in, you have a you would have to roll a 1 on a check. I don't know which check would have to be, but you'd have to roll a 1 to think that this door does not lead close to the surface. You can still try to open. You can go up the stairs, and there's a wooden set of double doors there at the top of the stairs that are an angle. You could try to open them if you wanted to.
This room cold. Let's go back.
Yeah, if he's out there, he's dead.
At which point, oh well.
Stairs, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping that in my mind.
Okay. They all look right, like they're human-made.
Yeah. Let's head back east into the main room and then follow the south wall around until we hit the river or another passage.
Okay. You do not hit any passages before the river. So you are now in front of the river.
Is there fish?
Give me a survival check.
Let's see. I have a 9 and survival is +2.
You see one or two cavefish. They move pretty fast, but they're in here.
I want to try to grab one. Do I roll again?
Yeah, give me an unarmed attack roll.
An unarmed attack roll. Is that a d20? I don't know what I'm supposed to roll. D20. Okay, I got that.
You have unarmed strike listed, so you have a +3 to unarmed strike.
Okay, I have a 13 and then +3.
Okay, so that's a 16. You have captured yourself a cavefish.
Yes! There is food!
The water is
Anybody
cold.
Want some? Oh. I move the fish from hand to hand, trying not to freeze my hands.
I'll warm the thing up. And Zoe casts Prestidigitation on the fish to make it warm.
Prestidigitation does not warm living matter.
Oh, it's still alive.
Yeah. It's wiggling.
Gox can fix. Granted, I slam it against the ground.
Granted, it is literally a fish out of water, so that's not going to last very long.
Yeah. I can fix, and I just like take it by the tail and slam it on the ground and figure it's dead. And then I look expectantly over.
It has one hit point. Sure, you have successfully killed a fish. Do not expect the party to share XP in this.
Okay.
Especially since we're doing milestone leveling in this game.
Right. And I'm waiting for her to heat it up.
Sighs and casts Prestidigitation to warm up the fish.
Yes! It is cooked. Anyone fish. Want some? I can share. Anybody want some fish? It's warm.
You have the fish.
All right. I start eating.
All right. Out of character question. Wasn't there another direction that we didn't go in?
Yes. Yet? Yes, there's two tunnels that you've seen that you have not gone through. There's the one in this cave that if you go over the river, there is no woods to go through. But if you go over the river, there is a cave that goes to the east from this room. If you go back to the main chamber on the other side of the not-so-secret door, there was a cave there that led to the east also.
Let's go look at the other east cave. I don't think this one's gonna have anyone swimming through to kidnap Tess.
How wide is the river?
Maybe 20, 25 feet. It depends on exactly where you measure it.
So not I jump across it.
No, you're not gonna do a flying leap. Well, you could. You could if you wanted to. You wouldn't go all the way across. You would need an elven ranger to toss you.
I will spread out flat and have Gox skip me across the river.
No, no, no!
Why?
Because it's funny.
It could be funny.
It might
no,
work.
No, okay, let's... I die laughing.
Are you sure?
I agree with you. Let's go back north and examine the eastern passage that we didn't look at beforehand.
Okay. So this eastern passage very quickly angles its way north. So you're only going east for a little bit before you find yourself going north. And it opens into a wider hallway or perhaps a room. It's again, there's you're talking natural caves here. So there's a lot of overlap in this Venn diagram. You also notice spider webs. A significant number of spider webs.
Leave a message and I'll call you back.
I love this game so freaking much. No doubt, I love this game.
That took me a minute. I got it. Okay,
well,
so
lots of spider webs. Probably got spiders. Let's go.
And in fact, you do see a few little spiders that are moving around. But everyone give me a survival check and let me know if you roll higher than a 10.
I have rolled a 3, and survival is plus 2. So no, I have not. 12.
13 plus 2 is 15.
Okay. You don't think...
9, no.
Well, half of the party doesn't think that the little spiders you've seen are large enough to make some of the webs in here. Some of the webs, the strands themselves, are much thicker than you think could come out of these tiny little spiders you found. There might be something bigger in here.
Daldane puts her hand out and stops. Rolt. Mm-hmm. This is web too big for little spider butts.
There may be a bigger one.
Cox is looking at the little spider butts. Oh. Okay.
Do you have fire?
What kind of question is that? I always have fire.
That's concerning, but also helpful.
Because spider webs burn.
Hmm.
Everybody
out of character.
Hmm?
Isn't it that web spells burn and spider webs do not?
Hey, so we've been playing for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to take a 5-minute break?
Nah.
Sure.
Or do you want to deal with the phase spider that's about to pop out of nowhere and attack you?
Let's
take a 5-minute break.
Oh, let's do that.
Okay.
Okay.
And like a bad penny, we're back. And we have rolled for initiative during the break, so we don't need to go through the usual hassle of me spending 5 minutes trying to write everything down, going, wait, what was your roll again? Okay, no, what was it again? No, was that with or without? That's never mind.
But all right. We're going to do it anyway.
Well, it won't be in the recording, at least. And on that note, as you're discussing fire, that is when a phase spider phases into existence. Now, what was your order as you came into this tunnel? Who was in front and who was in the back?
I think I was in front.
I would have followed because you're the leader.
I think Sally, unfortunately, was probably also fairly close to the front because she's excited.
I was beating Slocker.
Okay, so Sox is in the back, and Sox has an attack used against him.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a bite attack, and that would be a 15.
Mess.
Okay, so this large spider, and by large I mean, according to D&D standards, it's large, so it's two-sided category is larger than you are, appears right behind you and strikes down with its pincers at you. However, with your agility as a monk, you are able to sidestep the strike, and as the pincers come down and hit the ground, they chip it. It came down with a lot of force.
It expects him to be a human.
And so
is
just
completely not expecting a kobold, which is a size category smaller.
Oh, no, it was watching you from the ethereal plane.
Sox just starts screaming like a 5-year-old little girl.
I'll have you know that 5-year-old little shock. Boys can scream just as well.
Okay.
Because my
verify that. I used to teach.
My classroom is adjacent to the elementary playground for my building.
Ooh.
And equal opportunity screamers. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, okay.
It's true.
Tiny little voices. Tiny little kids.
And more than once, I've listened to those screams and gone, is that a I'm happy scream or is that a I'm being murdered scream? But every time I look out the window, they're happy. All right, well, that was a surprise round. Zeely, you're up.
Oh, hey! I don't need to burn the webs. I can burn that! Chromatic orb of fire. Let me roll to hit 1 second. I have several spell slots. And I can do that again because advantage and it's obviously close enough to be trying to hit...
That's right. Pack Tactics.
Yeah,
it just tried to attack Sox. So it was within 5 feet.
Hello.
That'll hit. That's a 22.
Wow. Okay. 14 points of fire damage to the spider.
Okay, so this spider, when it appeared, was blue and sort of an off-white color.
Uh-huh.
Now it looks a lot more like midnight black, except for the parts that are still kind of on fire, or that might be little bits of web trailing. You're not entirely sure. But you like this aesthetic. You think this is a good look for it. It's like when Spider-Man decided to change his outfit to the black and white outfit from the blue and red
symbiote
outfit.
Symbiote Spider-Man.
Back before he realized it was an alien symbiote, but never mind about that. All right. Now it is the Phase Spider's turn. It is going to try to go after Sox again because Sox is the closest one.
Okay.
That's going to be a hit. That's over 20.
Okay. Hang on. Do Cutting I get words. To react to that attack?
You can make a reaction at this point if you want to.
Cutting words.
Just so you know, for the sake of whether or not you think you could make a cutting words for this to have it work, that was a 22.
And what's the to hit?
16. So roll a d6, aren't you?
Yeah, I could not.
No, okay. It's impossible.
Never mind.
I am a Justin Loving DM. I let people know in advance whether or not cutting words will be effective.
Thank you.
While I'm trying
He's
to
done this for me.
Giant spiders.
He's done this for me many times.
So you are going to take some damage.
Uh-huh.
That is going to be this die. Yeah, I rolled a 1. So with the okay. You take 3 points of damage, but I'm going to need a constitution saving throw from you.
No. Okay. 17.
You make the saving throw.
Thank
you. You're going to take half damage.
Okay.
Which is good because I don't have that many d8s out.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Well, I have that many d8s. Don't get me wrong. But I have a set of dice that I use more often, so I keep them in a separate dice bag. And I only put 2 d8s in that because I usually don't need more than that. You take 13 points of damage.
Oh, I think I would have went unconscious if I took the full thing there.
Okay, so
yep,
you are not feeling so good. You are also poisoned. Let me read this fully. If the poison damage reduces the target to 0 hit points, the target is stable but poisoned for 1 hour. Okay, so this doesn't say you are poisoned when you take the poison damage. Only if you're reduced to 0 hit points from the poison.
Okay. Well, it didn't.
Okay. There's always next turn.
Hmm.
And as a bonus action, it vanishes. Gox, it's your turn.
Where did it go? I'm looking around. Where did it go? How did we lose a spider that's big and on fire?
It's a magic spider.
I can't hit what I can't see.
Try and find it.
Okay, spider. Here we go. So I'm going to rage, because it did hit my brother. Okay. And I know I need to click that on something. Okay, so I'm going to swing my battle axe at the spot I think the spider was standing in.
Okay. I'm not going to have you roll. Your axe goes clean through the air.
Spider too fast.
Okay, Galdane.
Nope.
How can I reach out and touch Sox?
Yeah, you're all pretty close to each other.
Okay.
You're going to reach out and touch someone.
Yes. Mouth is alive with juices like wine, and you're strong as a bear. And I'm casting Enhance Ability.
Oh, okay.
So you get...
He gets.
Sox gets 6 additional hit points.
That temporary hit points or actual hit points?
Temporary hit points.
Okay.
And you have advantage on constitution checks.
You're a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Okay.
And that advantage lasts for 1 hour.
Sox, it's your turn.
Okay. Can I use my action to try and find the thing?
You most certainly can.
Okay. What am I rolling? Perception?
Perception sounds like a good thing, yes.
Actually, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Can I hide? Can I, like, hide behind something? I have 40 foot of movement.
There are some webs in this room that are thicker than others. So,
okay.
Yeah, there's probably some spots where if the spider didn't move, like, do you choose to hide from where the spider was, or do you try to pick a spot that's... Okay. So go ahead and give me a stealth check.
Okay. A lot. 23.
For a moment, you feel like you've disappeared.
Okay.
And you panic just a little bit.
All right, so that's my action. And as a bonus action, I'm going to... Where is it? Spend a key point to do patient defense, which lets me do the dodge action as a bonus action.
Okay. Zeely, it's your turn.
Can I ready an action?
You can ready an action.
I'm going to, when the spider next appears, cast Chromatic Orb at it again.
Okay. It's the spider's turn now. As a bonus action, it phases again. It can only do this as a bonus action, so it can only do this once per turn. So it reappears, and I'm going to roll a d4 to see who it's going after. It goes after Gox this time.
Okay.
It doesn't know what raging is, so it doesn't know that you have advantage against constitution saves.
She doesn't.
Oh, not yet?
No, I'm level 3.
No.
Rage. I don't know that. That's I don't think I have.
It's strength checks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Strength and something. Okay. Well, the face spider shows up and tries to take a bite out of Gox. And that right there is a natural 1. So
it's not actually very good at being a phase spider.
No,
it's having a bad day.
It copied off of other phase spiders tests.
it's a teenage spider. It is going through a phase, Mom. Or rather, it's not a phase. Its mom is pretty sure that it is. But no, it insists that it is, in fact, a goth spider.
I'm corporeal and you can't stop me.
So what's its AC? Does an 11 hit?
An 11, unfortunately, will not hit. You need a little bit more. But is that your highest of your two rolls, or do you need to roll again?
Yep.
Since you have advantage, I might as well always roll twice because one of those rolls might be a 20.
Yeah, I rolled twice.
Okay. So the chromatic orb flies through the air and hits some spider webs, and it's a spectacular fire show that if the other kobolds were here, they'd be going, ooh, ah, but they're not. So you'll have to regale them with this tale later. Right. So next up is going to be Gox.
Okay. So I think...
Kill it.
Yeah, so I think the raging continues for at least this turn.
10 turns total.
Okay.
Yeah, so far.
Okay, so I'm going to hit it with my battle axe. And does the pack tactics thing play into that at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do
at
I roll?
At this point, the only roll person who used an action to move away, or didn't use an action, but moved away, was Sox. Everyone else, the spider's right on top of them.
Okay, so what do I roll?
Roll a d20 twice.
Okay, twice? Okay. I got a 20.
Don't roll again.
Don't roll again.
Yeah, you were going to take the higher roll, but you can't take a higher roll for this.
Yeah, so I got a 20.
What you need to do, you need to roll a d10.
A d10?
And add 1.
Okay.
No, roll a d10 and then roll it again. Huh? But tell us both numbers.
Right. Okay, I can roll 2 d10s and give
that
you 2 numbers.
Works. Ignore the extra 0 on them. You're not rolling triple digits.
Okay, so I rolled a 1 and a 4.
Okay, so 4 plus... then you want to add 5 plus 3 is... No, she needs to add 3 as well.
Oh, because...
Because she's raging. And then you need to roll 2d6s for your radiant damage as well.
2d6s.
And you need to add?
Oh, that's right, because you picked Zealot.
She's a Zealot, yeah.
Yeah, okay, let me try that again.
Huh? We're going to have a conversation about this, because if your idea is that you don't care between the two deities, well, you're a Zealot. You don't find
Yeah, now I have to change that. Yeah. That's going to have to change.
I vehemently
that.
Believe that I don't really care about deities and I will fight.
Well, I think it's more that like I don't know that
there's
he
some character progression here.
Yeah, we could do that. That but it also could be that he's not very smart, so he doesn't fully understand. You can believe and not understand. Possible.
So, you know? Yeah. While there are many atheists who are incredible people and are friends of mine, I do know that from unfortunate experiences online, there are some atheists that are zealots. And it's weird.
So the two d6s plus one for radiant
damage. Okay, so I got a two on each of
them. So that's five radiant damage.
Okay.
So that's how much damage total?
So it was 9 plus 5.
So 14.
Yes.
All right.
This thing is beyond bloodied. You took off a couple legs.
Cox is grinning and ready to fight more.
Next up is Daldane.
Sorry.
I am going to do the one thing bards never do.
Hit with a weapon?
I'm going to stab it.
Bards can do that?
Bards can do that. We don't do it often. Do we?
Uh, 13 plus 4 is 17.
That's a hit. Don't roll damage. I know how much damage you can do, and the minimum will kill it.
Okay.
The bard gets the killing blow with a stab.
Nice.
How do you want to do this?
Well, there you go. I catapult over Gox's axe and run my dagger through its brain. Well, Anglia.
Woo!
That works. And it sort of wobbles a little bit and then sinks down to the ground. Kind of slowly. Like it's almost like, imagine if you will, a dark escalator. Where you could get down faster if you wanted to, safely, but you sort of stay on top as it lowers you gently to the ground.
Huh. And Sox just peeks his head out from the side of the cobweb. Is it dead?
It's safe,
now
brother.
That's how you do that.
She has slayed it. Good job.
Zeely claps.
I have slain the spider.
I just come out holding one of my dead arms. Ugh. That hurt.
As you're coming out, Sox, you realize that the reason why the web that you were hiding behind was thicker than the other webs, which allowed you to hide behind it in the first place, is that you think there's something in it.
Okay. Let's try this out. I pull out my short sword and just start cutting away carefully at the webbing.
Okay. You do that, and there is, in fact, a kobold inside.
Is it Tess?
It is not Tess.
Okay.
Oh, hey! Who are you?
Is it conscious?
No, it's definitely dead.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh,
it
well.
It has been a spider meal.
I'm a terrible person.
From the look of it, it may have died sometime yesterday. Recent, but not too recent.
Are there other pods?
Lunara's not talking.
Oh, you're we're not cannibals.
Some kobolds are, but
we are not.
Okay. So you're gonna look around for other cocoons?
Yes.
Alright.
Yes, let's look around.
You may either do a survival or investigation check, whichever you prefer.
I'm gonna do survival.
We find Vex.
Oh, God.
You are not going to find Vex. He would have to swim across an ocean for him to be here.
Okay, I have an 18 plus 2 on survival.
I have a 16 plus 2, so you've got a 20, I've got an 18.
Okay. I only got a 7.
I have an 18 plus 6 on investigation. So, 24.
So you find all the cocoons.
Wonderful.
You find all cocoons from various spiders, including the little ones. That poor little cockroach. You were able to free a cockroach that hasn't been killed yet. It was being saved for later.
Yay!
Hold on, has a pet.
I was assuming one of you would then eat the cockroach, but never mind about that. Because kobolds are omnivores. And you've already killed and eaten
Gox is not too. Gox is not too sure about the spider goo and the spider webs thing. And
okay. These various cocoons that you find in here, some of them are older than others. You do find some skeletons in some, human skeletons, and some human remains that are not quite skeletal yet. You find two other kobolds, and one of them is still breathing.
Is that Tess?
It is not Tess. None of these are Tess. All of them have their hands tied behind their backs.
Oh,
and not with webs.
Including the humans?
No, the kobolds had their hands tied behind their backs. The humans look like they've been here for a while, from before the kobolds got here.
What about
someone's been abandoning in kobolds here to get eaten.
Are these kobolds we recognize?
Yes, you recognize all three of them.
Okay, I want to go break whatever's binding their hands so they can move.
Well,
two of them are dead.
Oh,
there's one that's
maybe
alive,
not that one. I'll start with the live one.
It's nice to know that we don't have anything that we have to sacrifice kobolds to anymore. Well, it's nice to know that we don't have this specific thing that we have to sacrifice kobolds to anymore.
Well, it depends. There is a growing movement that says that you should still be doing that.
And this
Daldane
is going to
have some trouble with this.
Yeah, this is why Gox doesn't understand religion very good. Every time he hears something, he's like, huh?
You're fairly certain that these three would not be in favor of the kobold sacrifice thing.
We should continue to sacrifice kobolds. Daldane has personally killed the thing you will sacrifice them to. We should still do it.
Good luck with that.
I put a dagger in its brain. It could still be. It's not. Okay, so.
So we have a live kobold.
Who is paralyzed.
Who's paralyzed.
It's breathing, but other than that, it's dead to the world.
Are we comfortable with a short rest?
Is it safe for a short rest is the better question.
You're not too far from home. You could walk back to your bed and take a short rest there if you really wanted to.
Let's carry him back.
Let's drag our paralyzed dude back. And,
can I lift him?
I was going to say.
Give me a strength check.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and let Gox do that.
This ran into something. Hang on.
Considering Gox is the only kobold in this party with a positive bonus for strength checks.
Okay, I rolled a 16 and strength is plus 1.
Okay. Now, normally you would be able to roll at advantage because you're raging. But I'm going to take that roll as it is because your rage is quickly going to fade out.
Dissipate. Yeah. Okay.
Now, if you rolled low, I would say roll with initiative, but then you'd be halfway back and you'd be like, oh, he got heavy.
Okay.
So... But that roll is significantly high enough that, yes, you're able to carry it back. Now, how do you carry it?
How big is this kobold in comparison to me?
Same size as you. Well, maybe a little bit less muscular, but roughly the same height. It's kobold-sized.
Kobold-sized. Okay, so I pick him up and I kind of like lop him over my shoulder and hold on to him that way.
Okay, that is a far better decision than Daldane's idea of dragging them back, because I'd be like, okay, well, what part are you holding and what part is dragging behind you?
This
greatly affect the survivability chance.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so you head back, and some of the kobolds are happy to see the kobold you brought back, and some of them seem not as thrilled.
We found him.
In a spider web. Well, cocoon.
Uh-huh.
With his hands tied.
He was spider food.
This is troubling news.
Where do I put him?
Now, most of the sleeping arrangements are shared alcove spaces. Only Tess really had a room to himself. So you know where his sleeping cot is, and you can drag him over there if you want.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm carrying him, so I'll carry him over that there works. And put him down on the sleeping cot.
Okay. And you can take your short rest now if you like.
All right.
Yes, let's get some hit points back.
Yep. Well,
and I'll do my singing thing.
I'm assuming that you regale the gathered kobolds with the story of the epic battle where Daldane slew the giant spider.
Indeed.
With nasty pointy teeth.
12 as long as your forearm.
I think, considering it was considered a large spider, the teeth were as large
as... 12 as long as your entire arm.
And your leg. It was pretty much you. It was as long as you.
Big spiders. Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer. You may or may not leave out the critical miss that it rolled.
I don't want to scare them too much.
Okay. So give me an insight check and let me know if you roll higher than 15 what the number is.
All of us?
Insight.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Insight check, let's see.
Nope. 12.
I have an 8, and insight is plus 2.
So, nope.
Not surprised.
You're all distracted by the story, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Whoops, ooh, I only got time. A 9.
Okay. It's up to Socks.
What is it I'm rolling again? I'm face right there for a second. Insight? 16.
Okay. So, Socks, while everyone else is distracted by this epic tale of spider fighting, and you're not as keen on it because you are the one that bravely ran away.
Yep.
For some reason, you aren't mentioned so much in the story, but there is a Sir Robin in the story. It's kind of weird. You don't know who that is. You are looking around at the other kobolds that are gathered around, and you're fairly certain that the ones that are less thrilled about this story are the ones that have all sort of been in the Taklak camp as opposed to the Civ camp. Now, not all the Taklak followers are reacting this way. It's only a small handful of them, but you make that connection.
I kind of just whisper that to Gok. So they don't seem interested, or they're bothered by it.
But it's a good story. And it's a true story.
You notice that a few of them are leaning closer to each other and whispering also.
Doug says, what do you mean the Taklak followers aren't believing the story?
Oh, no.
I will allow you to do that if you wish. This is Dungeons and Dragons. You can do whatever you want, but this is your character, so it's up to you.
Okay. Let's cause some trouble. So, Gox, being as not so smart as he is, says, which ones don't like the story? And I stand up and look around, because I think it's offensive that they don't like my friend's story. It's a good story.
And Sox, as he gets up, just face bombs.
In my headcanon, there is a slight indentation on Sox's face. Not from a single face palm, but from repeated face palms. It's sort of worn its way in to the skull and the bone a little bit.
It's one of his more well-known stances.
It feels natural. It feels right.
Gox takes it to mean he's done something impressive.
I love this game so freaking much. All right, so...
I hate to ask, but if we're going to get into a thing, I need to take a break real quick.
Okay.
We can do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm going to press some buttons. And we return. Before the break, Gox was... directly or indirectly, on purpose or not on purpose, I'm not quite sure. He might not be sure either. Attempting to start a fight.
He
now
was
I would.
Bad.
I was I was considering having you roll a perception check, and so I'm going to have you roll a perception check because you're looking around the room to see who didn't like
Dalton's who doesn't song. Like the story.
So give me a perception check.
I've rolled a 6, and perception is +2.
Okay, in most cases, that would not be a high enough roll. In this case, it's above a 5, so you're able to tell the ones that didn't like the song are the ones that just stood up angrily when you asked angrily who didn't like the song.
How many are there?
There's 4 of them.
Okay.
Really sorry, but Crash, your yes? voice has gotten all metallic burbly.
Oh no, they know I'm a robot.
That might just be on my end, but...
Is it just him, or is it all of us, too?
Just him.
I'm hearing him just fine.
Huh. Weird. Guess my internet just did weird things for a moment. Sorry about that.
Are you there?
It's okay. It means you're the only one who knows that I'm actually a robot.
There you go.
Oh, no.
The rest of us did not roll high enough to determine this.
No, you failed your perception checks. You all rolled yes. a 6+2, I think. So there's 4 that stood up.
4 of them? And,
yeah, 4 of them. So what if we don't like the song? You went and squashed a spider. Big deal.
It was a big spider, and it was magic. Why are you not impressed by this?
Another one says, well, maybe if we saw the big giant spider that you squashed.
Well, I'm sure there are pieces of it back in the cavern.
And a third one says, yeah, they keep coming back and telling stories about monsters they fought, but we never actually see the monsters they fought. They might just be making it up.
Come with next time.
You see a few sage nods from the other kobolds.
For what it's worth, I'm hearing it now, too.
Oh.
I'm trying to look through and see if there's...
Oh, I'm hearing it now. It's very slight from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's understandable. Just giving you the heads up.
Understood. I'm looking to see if I've got anything sucking at my bandwidth. I don't see anything currently, though. I may have had a spike recently. Oh, I'll keep an eye on it. Push comes to shove, I'm the one recording locally, so...
So it will work out.
So I will never notice.
Yes.
It'll just be an inconvenience for all of you.
Okay.
But aren't I the one that really matters? No. No, I am not. Okay. So... the 4 kobolds make a few more angry gestures. One of them makes a quite rude gesture, and they sort of just, like, walk away.
I glare at them.
Now, it's worth noting, none of these were Taklak.
Well, Gox thinks he solved the problem. Those that didn't like the story have left. We can enjoy it now.
Siv seems to enjoy the story.
By none of these were Taklak, do you mean Taklak himself didn't leave, or none of them were associated with him?
It's quite possible that because Siv is here, Taklak decided that they would not be here.
Okay. Well, I'll keep telling the story until it's done.
Okay. And you get the benefit of your long rest, and what's the special ability that you as a bard get to give the party?
4 additional hit points.
Wonderful.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm not saying you're going to need that, but you're going to need that.
Should we add that on the character sheet? Or...
Oh, sorry. So, I apologize.
Okay.
You regain additional hit points.
So if you're at full, you're set.
Yes.
Okay. No worries.
So if you're burning hit die to get your hit points back, you add that number to whatever you're burning. All right. So short rest done, and Siv comes over to you and says, I'm a little worried that, don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled that you found and killed this spider, and it was obviously eating kobolds, but I'm a little worried that none of them was Tess. Did you search everywhere?
We did. We didn't find them.
We should go look again.
Now, when you were searching through the cave...
We'll have more places to look.
Yes. There are more places to look. You could have continued in the northernmost part of that cavern. There was a passageway that went to the west. But in a southern portion of that cavern, where you probably could have investigated that if you didn't have a spider trying to eat you at the time, there was another passageway that went east.
Rule wanted to get Gablak back and ensure that he was resting comfortably.
Okay, that's canon. This kobold theme is Gablak.
Awesome.
But now we'll go back. And this time, we'll find Tess.
Okay.
Or do something else trying.
And have fun doing it.
What? I'm not going to die. That's bad luck.
Still, you're kobolds. That would fit your idiom.
That's true.
Okay. So you head back to the spider chamber. Would you like to go west or east?
East.
Okay. You find another chamber that's slightly larger than the one you were in before. This one has a lot of spider webs in it as well.
And two-faced spiders.
Oh, no.
You do not, in fact, see any faced spiders.
Do not we see yet. Any cocoons?
I'm going to say, for the sake of expediency, that you did search this room also when you were looking for cocoons.
Okay.
So both of these rooms were part of the spider's lair. Now, this particular room has this passageway that leads south. And to the north, you have a Y junction. So you could go northeast or northwest.
Let's go northeast.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So you go northeast, and you see a wall of webbing.
That's not good. I'm looking around to see if I see any phase spiders again.
You know, I was going to set this on fire, but there might be more cocoons in it, so I'm not going to set this on fire.
Well, give me a perception check.
Okay.
Let me see.
I have rolled a 7. Perception is +2.
You can't see any cocoons because there's too much webbing in the way.
Yeah, I only got a 6, rolled 5. So.
I was muted. Well, perception, yeah?
Yes.
14.
You're fairly certain that there are no cocoons in this webbing. It's more of a let's keep you from going this way web.
Okay. So the web is a door?
Possibly.
Or is the door ajar?
Well, we know what I do to doors!
Oh my gosh.
I move out of the way.
So, two of you aren't going to get the reference, but I'm going to say it anyway. We have found Zeely's wagon.
Oh! Yeah.
Yeah.
Explanation probably required, but this is a positive thing, I think.
Well, it depends.
Well, maybe. A
few episodes from now, you go into town. And, oh, no. No, you go to Sigil, the city of doors.
You know, never do this that, is the second campaign in which I have been murdering doors. All Ellie, right. Remember when Bombsite was asking what... Doors. The answer was doors.
So then I really don't need to explain what I meant by we found your wagon.
No, you do need to explain, but I'm not
exactly,
sure.
That's exactly what happens when our Dragonborn Paladin finds a wagon. He smashes it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yes. Weird.
And sometimes uses it as a weapon.
There was one time where he lifted it over his head, carried it for a good 30, 50 feet or so, waited patiently for his teammates to get out of the way, and then threw it at a demon.
It's pretty impressive.
Actually, technically it was a devil, but never mind about that. It was a fiend.
Anyway, has everyone stood back?
I'm going to stand behind you
forever. I'm as far away as humanly possible.
I am also standing back.
Firebolt!
Okay, so you leave a firebolt-shaped hole in the middle of this webbing. And that, but it starts off the same size as the firebolt, and then it's about the same size as a kobold, and then it's the same size as the hallway. And it looked really cool when you did it.
And then it keeps burning, and you realize that the hall itself is made of spider webs. And it keeps going outward and outward and outward. It's a spider web mountain, outward and outward.
Well, I wasn't going to have it be that way, but that sounds cool. So yes, let's go with this.
Oh, no.
You all die. Roll up new characters.
Aww.
Your character's adventure will start at the edge of a giant crater where there was an unfortunate fireball accident. firebolt accident.
Not even a fireball accident, a firebolt accident.
Yes.
They didn't Which may think have taken firebolt. Out the temple atop it.
They didn't think the firebolt would take out an entire mountain range, but lo and behold.
And there's just a single levitating temple to Bahamut.
Oh, there you go.
No, no.
And a lot of very confused parishioners inside.
There were a lot of people that were killed.
Does anyone know Featherfall?
No.
Featherball! No, Featherfall! There are a lot of concerned citizens about the amount of death and destruction that has occurred, but when it's revealed to them that there was a spider, they're like, oh, yeah, this was for the best. No, none of that actually happens except that the wall of spider web is no longer there. And the passageway continues to the north. It does look like it starts to turn to the left a little bit as you go down.
I'm going to pass my inspiration to Zeely.
I already have inspiration.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got to start using your inspiration so I can give you more. Inspiration is not something you stockpile. You use it so you can earn it again.
I keep not needing it.
If the fight would have started in the kobold room, I'd have used it.
I keep forgetting I have it.
A significant number of you have rolled very low ability. On checks.
Yeah, I know. I keep forgetting I have it.
Okay, so are you going to continue down this passageway now that you've opened it, the door?
Yes.
You solved my spiderweb puzzle.
Yes, let's go!
Ah.
Okay. Give me another perception check.
Okay. I have a 9. So it's...
I rolled a 2, so that's 2 plus 1 is 3.
I'm going to use my inspiration. Because I do not think a 9 is good enough. So I forget how to use inspiration.
Basically, the button at the top of your character sheet that says inspiration, you click on it to add an inspiration point, and you click on it again to get rid of it. It's just a toggle switch.
Yeah, but I forgot what it does.
Then you just roll the d20 again.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, I got confused by what Bardic Inspiration does, and got it confused with the regular thing.
I get confused by that, too.
Let's see. Wow. Okay, Zeely is kind of oblivious today, and also just in general, apparently. Right.
So we're just waiting on one more roll, and that would be for Sox.
Oh, I rolled an 8.
Yeah, I have 9 plus, what was it, Perception plus 2.
Okay. So, you're all kind of oblivious, which for some of you is a bit more normal than others.
Uh-huh.
And as you go around the corner, you are in another chamber that happens to have the 4 kobolds that didn't like the song, and Taklak.
Huh. Hey.
And a tied-up kobold in a corner, which you think is Tess. They're definitely green. And they seem to be in the middle of an argument over what to do now that the spider's dead.
Roll it on, Lena.
I did not hear that.
How did you guys get past the spider?
That means they've seen the spider and they knew it was big and still didn't like the story.
How do you not like my story?
Yeah. They didn't like the story because they're the culprits!
Da da da.
Oh.
Just because people didn't like my stories doesn't mean they're always the bad guys.
So, they got Tess there, tied up! They're the bad guys!
She does have a point. There's
maybe
Tess.
They'll find Tess.
But he's tied up.
Tess is the bad guy.
Someone else could have tied him up.
You and I both know. Tess is incompetent. Tess is a bully. Tess is a bad leader. We are better off without Tess.
Well, in fairness, from what I'm seeing, you've got the man tied up, so you're clearly a bully yourself.
And Tess says, guys, I'm right here.
Oh, yeah, but
look,
you're also an idiot,
I would tie someone up too, but the... Daldane needs a minute to think.
All right. I don't like Tess, okay? I think he's a terrible sorcerer. But I also think that he's at least not kidnapping us and feeding us the spiders.
Well, they weren't kidnapping us and feeding us the spiders either.
I'm going to go over and see if I can break whatever's holding
I'm pretty sure they
together
were.
While y'all are fighting.
Well, I didn't get fed to a spider. I didn't get kidnapped.
Us like the clan, not us personally.
Oh.
So what do I roll to try to...
Taklak takes issue with this. First of all, when you try to go over to Tess, Taklak sort of comes over and stands in front of you. You do that thing where you try to go around, so Taklak sidesteps so that he's always sort of in front of you.
Okay, so...
And I'll leave it to you to decide if he's doing it on purpose or if it's one of those things where when you come to someone in public and you both try to step around the other person, but you step the
same
way.
And you end up dancing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll leave it to you to decide if your character thinks it's one thing or the other, but Taklak is in your way. And Taklak says, "We are the clan. We are the ones that were suffering under Taklak's rule. And the ones that..." Under Tess's rule. "And the ones that were agreeing with Tess. And that sniveling sieve person who thinks we should follow Bahamut of all people."
I'm already confused, so I'm going to use the broadside of my battle axe and try to shove him out of my way.
Give me an attack roll.
All right. Just kind of like push him with the flat part of it. Like, yeah,
well, this will be a non-lethal attack, but for all intents and purposes, you're rolling the same.
Okay, I've rolled an 11, and I don't know if I've...
Well, you're not raging yet.
No. I don't think it would have lasted that long. So it's an 11.
No. So plus one then if you're not raging.
Okay, so then it's a 12?
Wait, she does have proficiency, doesn't she? Yeah.
Oh.
So then it's a plus 3 to hit.
So it's a 11 plus 3?
14.
14?
14. Okay, let me look this up. Okay, so you take your broad axe. And you, not a broad axe, but your battle axe.
Battle axe.
Yeah, you go to push Taklak out of the way, and you hit Taklak with your battle axe, and it bounces off.
Hey.
You notice that, now, you don't notice a whole lot of things.
Right, yes.
But when it comes to combat, you're fairly proficient at it. So that's where you start to pay more attention. Some would argue that you're a savant in that way. I argue that Gardner believed in multiple theories of intelligences. And it just so happens that your kinetic intelligence is pretty good. So you notice movement and physics. Like, if I give you a physics problem, you wouldn't be able to solve it. But if I tossed a rock and asked you to predict where it was going to land, that'd be pretty good because you're able to intuit this. Which is a long way of saying that you're pretty sure that Taklak adjusted his footing so that he could take the brunt of this and not be moved. It wasn't that it was any kind of magic attack. It's that he's tough enough that a 14 isn't going to do it.
How big is he compared to Gox?
You think that he might also have a bonus to his strength, a positive bonus.
Okay.
Well it started now.
Hey! So!
So at this point...
You're going to go on your whole... Explain why you're not traitors to the clan thing.
We are the clan.
Okay, now that he's distracted, I'm going to, like, hook my foot around whatever foot he's, like, try to knock him over.
That's going to be a grapple check, then.
All right.
Give me a strength roll.
Okay. That hit my keyboard.
Keyboard dice don't count.
Okay, that one is a 19.
I rolled a natural one.
All right.
So you sweep his legs out from underneath him, and he falls flat on his tail.
Out of my way. Cobalt talk too much. And I go over and try to undo the things that are tying Tass's hands. Cobalt should not capture other kobolds.
Tass might be a complete idiot, but he's still a kobold. He's still one of us.
Taklak screams. From the ground still. Traitors! Fedivacs! Betrayers are in our midst! Help us!
Who he talking to?
And the other four kobolds that were with Taklak, they run down a passageway, which is to the east of this chamber. You came from you were going north and west after the tunnel turned. There's a passageway that continues to the east out of this chamber. That's where four of the kobolds run, and you hear a low growling sound coming from that chamber.
The one they ran to?
The one they ran to. Well, huh. I'm assuming that you were kind of blocking the other way. So they had two ways to leave, and one of them was through you.
Okay, I see. Hmm.
Taklak is just laughing, like, you're in for it now.
I put up a mage hand down the passageway they just went to a couple yards, palm facing outward.
Okay. How good is your mage hand at stopping things?
Not at all. It can only stop things about 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not... Like, the idea isn't to put physical pressure. The idea is to...
See what it is.
Yeah. I want to make them feel like they have to figure out what's going on before they can come into the room.
You think I'm scared of what you got? It should be scared of us!
Taklak laughs and says, I'm trying to think of how to word this properly. That's not what he says.
If you're not scared of dragons, you're not really kobolds.
And your mage hand is gone. As a red dragon gallops, because the tunnel is not quite large enough for flight, but a red dragon gallops through the passageway to the west and enters the room and roars.
Oh, at this here point, we go.
Roll for initiative.
Oh, that's better.
I've got a 13.
19 plus 3 is 22.
20 for me. No, 22 for me. I have a plus 4.
And to break ties, I'm going with whoever has the higher modifier.
I have a plus 4.
That'd be sucks.
Okay. And did anyone roll between 15 and 20?
Nope.
Did anyone roll between 10 and 15?
Yep.
Who?
Me, 13. Or, I think that's right. The dice says 13.
Now let's look at your modifier.
Sorry.
15.
Okay.
I was going to say, it's a good thing I could turn a 13 into a 15 pretty easily, and I realized my handwriting is bad enough that I could turn a 13 into a 15.
Hmm.
I should have been a doctor.
Zaylee, what was your roll?
A 4.
Ooh.
Okay. So the dragon double moved to get in here. It is a medium-sized dragon, about human-sized, which... makes sense because these tunnels are not large enough for a really big dragon, unless the dragon chooses to make the tunnels bigger, which it kind of did on the way in. It did knock some rubble loose on its way in. The tunnel is slightly larger than it was before and almost dragon-shaped a little bit, kind of. But Sox, you go first.
Okay. So how far away from am I? How far away from me is it?
It uses double movement to run right up to you.
Right up to me. Okay.
Yeah.
Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my short sword as my first strike. There's other people around at yes, so all of us are around it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Advantage. 23.
That's going to be a hit.
Okay. 9 points of piercing.
Okay.
And then I'm going to spend a key point to do flurry of blows, so 2 offhand strikes. That's 19 on the first.
That would be a hit.
And second's probably not going to hit. That's an 11 on the second.
That's not going to be a hit.
Okay. That is... plus 4, 6 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay. So to flavor this, you go in with your short sword and you stab the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of the short sword, kind of like saying, here, hold this for a second. And then use both hands to punch it. You connect both times. You feel one of the hits bounce off the scales. The other one, you think you hit something a bit more fleshy. And then you grab your sword out of the wound. Dolane,
baby.
I will duck behind Gox and in the process enhance ability with bull strength. And I, for the life of me, I cannot think of a song for this.
Hmm.
I feel like Eye of the Tiger would work pretty
well. I was just thinking
that. There you go.
You feel like you need to go somewhere, like in a city, and run up a bunch of stairs?
Yeah. Okay.
Gonna punch now. Gonna hit now.
I am ready to go.
And that's great because it's your turn.
Okay.
You
get
advantage on strength checks and your carrying capacity doubles.
Oh, okay. How far away am I?
You're right next to it. You're somewhat flanking it.
Okay, so I would like to rage to get some extra that as well.
That's fantastic.
And I'm kind of torn on exactly what I want to do, but I think I'm just going to swing at him with the battle axe. The sharp side this time, not the flat side. So what do I roll?
D20.
D20. Okay, so I roll a D20. That's 10.
That's not going to do it. But
not going to do it
because you have
advantage. Roll again because I have advantage. Okay.
That's another problem with giving it inspiration, because in most of these fights you already have advantage, so using inspiration isn't that big a deal.
Isn't going to do much. Yeah. Okay. I rolled an 18.
An 18 will hit.
All right. All right. D10.
I have a suggestion for that, but we'll talk later.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a 6.
Okay. And you've got, what, total plus 4 to that? Because it's plus 1 from your strength bonus, and then you're raging. So I think it's an additional plus 3?
I think so.
Okay. That's what it was last battle. You haven't leveled
up. That's probably the same now. Haven't leveled up. Should be the same.
Okay. Blame the DM for not leveling you up.
Oh.
I should have Blame the DM made into a t-shirt. Okay.
I bet it would sell a lot of t-shirts.
It's the dragon's turn. So it's got two groups of kobolds in front of it. Technically three. Sox and Zili are directly in front of it. Duldane and Gox are over to its right a bit, because Gox was going over to help Tess. So you're sort
right.
of, you're almost flanking it, but not really. But what this means is it can't get all four of you in the same breath attack. But it used its breath attack. I am going to need dexterity saves for Sox and Zili.
Give me a second. Give me a second. I'm checking something. Let's see.
19 no, I'm pretty sure for
that's
me.
A thing. I'm pretty sure that's a thing. Let's see. Let's see if it's a thing I'm the right level for. Let's see.
Anything you can do would be listed under your actions tab. If you know specifically what category of action, you can click on the various...
Oh, no, tabs. Can't do it. I'm not 6th level.
Okay. D&D Beyond is... It wasn't as good at this before, but since the update, it's very good at organizing everything you could possibly do into the actions tab.
I was checking to see if I could give myself resistance to fire damage, and I can't till 6th level.
Do you have shield?
Shield wouldn't help.
Shield wouldn't help.
Shield wouldn't help. It's a save.
Okay, just a lot.
Okay. So, 12.
12 is not going to do it. You're going to take the full brunt of this. So I'm going to roll this in chat.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Well, this way you can't say I'm making up numbers.
True.
I like to do that for when it's really big numbers.
Whoa.
So.
Ha! You'll think that's a breath attack? Gox has worse breaths when I cork.
Thank you! I am powerful.
It's not much, but.
Okay, so what does that do?
It reduces the damage roll by that amount.
Okay. So that means that. It was 34 points of damage. 15 is going to go to... Actually, no.
16 for me.
Yeah. And 32 points of damage is going to hit Zili.
I think she's insta-dead.
No, we rolled that that's...
Oh, yeah, it's not a thing, yeah.
Zili...
But... Huh?
Why does it say you only have 14 hit points max?
Because I only have 14 hit points max?
Because she has negative in constitution.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it.
And okay, a pretty low hit die.
So Zili is unconscious. You're blown backward, and the breath is literally knocked out of you from this attack. It's too scalding to breathe properly, and things go dark for you. You're not dead yet. You're not quite dead. You feel fine. Yes?
I'm trying to figure out what I do to record being in negative hit points. Do I just make it go to zero, or?
Yeah, there are no negative hit points.
Yeah, just type in 14 and press damage, because that'll take you down to zero. You could type the full number in if you really wanted to, but in this case, just type in 14. That's sufficient. And then your interface will go to a death save counter.
Yep, that seems to be what's on the screen now.
Okay. So at this point, I'm going to need you to roll a death save, because it is your turn.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I forgot. Taklak is there too. Taklak goes at the same time as the dragon. Taklak just spends his turn laughing maniacally. It's sort of a cross. He's laughing maniacally at the party, but also groveling at the dragon. He sort of switches between the two, and it's a little weird. Ha 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 ha! Oh, great leader.
So Gox wants to punch him.
Okay, let's see.
You already knocked him flat on his tail, so.
Yeah, well, he's still talking.
Okay, so you got a 7?
Yeah.
That's your first failure. So go ahead and click on the failure success thing and click and check off one failure.
All right. Okay.
Sox, your turn.
Okay.
The Daldango?
Yeah.
I go right after Sox.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I got confused about the initiative order.
Don't feel bad. I had to write it down.
Right. I'm going to... I can't get her up. I'm going to go down next turn anyway.
Well, that depends. You know it takes a while for a dragon to breathe fire again. Unless you're really unlucky.
Right. I'm going to... spend a key point to do patient defense, and I'm going to walk 30 feet away, so it'll get an attack of opportunity, but a disadvantage.
Okay, so I gotta find a d20 here, and maybe you don't want me to use this d20, but I'm using it anyway.
So I'm gonna try and stay at range. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me double check my... No, I don't want to do patient defense. I want to step the wind. Because then I can do disengage as a bonus action. Keep forgetting about that it even exists.
Okay, so it's not going to try to take a bite at you.
Not going to take a bite at me. Exactly. So I'm 30 feet away now. There's still someone engaging it, so I still have advantage on an attack, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, then I'm going to do Radiant Sunbolt at it.
Okay.
Natural 20.
Ooh.
I'm just going to double check that Radiant Sunbolt's 2d4s. That is 10 points of radiant damage.
Noted. Only 10 for a crit?
It's 2d4s plus 4, I only added 1. No, I didn't only add 1. No, I added it right, yeah. It's only 2d, it's only d4s I use for my unarmed strikes.
Alright, well, for the record, it's bloodied.
Ooh, good.
Thank.
All right, Daldane, it's your turn.
Yes, I am going to leap over to where Zili is.
You are able to do this without disengaging, because even though you're a distance apart, you're all around the dragon.
Yes. From wherever you are, come back, and I cast Cure Wounds. For landed on the floor damage.
Floor dice don't count.
There is a Wizards of the Coast employee that when she runs her game says if the dice lands on the floor, it's an automatic fail.
You can't fail on a healing die.
It would just be you don't heal any points.
That's...
Anyway, it's 5 health and she's stabilized, I think.
Okay, so yeah, you're at 5 health. You're conscious. You're still prone.
Aha, there it is. And It's the Eye of the Tiger. I don't know what it is, but that's in the song, so be inspired.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Bardic inspiring Gox.
Yay. What does that do?
You get to add a D6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus 1d6 to one ability check, attack roll, or saving throw.
So anything that can be added. 24.
Okay.
If you don't like the number, you can roll that d6 and add the d6 result to the first number.
Okay. Awesome.
So let's say, for example, just as an example, let's say you're fighting a dragon that has an armor class of 17.
Mm-hmm.
Just hypothetical.
Right.
Just and you roll a 15. After your advantage, your highest roll is a 15. You could roll a d6, and if you got two or higher, you'd actually hit.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay. Speaking of which, it is your turn.
All right. So I'm going to swing at the dragon. So I got to roll a d20, right?
Yep. Roll it twice.
You did rage, right?
The number's higher.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still raging. So, because I think it lasts more than, 10 rounds? 10 rounds total?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay. That's an 11. So I roll again. That'll do it. Okay. I got an 11 again.
Okay.
Wait, is that total? Are you adding your modifier as well?
No, that's just what's on the dice.
So.
Just the d20. That's all I roll.
So it'd be 14. So roll the d6.
Okay. Got a 6.
That'll hit.
Okay.
Okay.
That inspiration allowed you to strike.
Yay!
So a d10 and a d6.
Okay, so a d10 is a 6.
Plus 3 is 9.
And then roll a d6?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Okay.
Why are you rolling a d6?
Is a 5.
Radiant damage, because she's raging.
Oh.
So the d6 was a 5.
All right, so 9 slashing plus 6 radiant, because you do half your bard, half your barbarian level as well, so...
It's
15 total.
It's a little painful for you as well, because kobolds aren't fans of bright light, but every time you use this radiant damage, you create a bright light.
Okay.
All right. So, that was your turn. It's now the dragon's turn, and it's going to try to take a bite out of the thing that's biting it with a battle axe.
That makes sense.
That's a 19 on the die. I don't think I need to add the two-hit modifier.
No.
That is an 8 plus 4. So you're going to take 12 piercing damage.
Okay. So I put 12 and hit damage.
Yes.
Okay.
And you are also going to take 4 fire damage. Actually, No, wait. Because you
okay, am I waiting?
Because you're raging, you take half damage.
So I put 6 back.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm at 26.
And then put in 2 and hit damage again, because you
okay.
They hit for 4 fire damage along with its bite.
Okay. I think I have it. You can probably see my character sheet.
And by the way, you can probably tell, I have to reload your character sheet to see the difference, but I'll do that later.
Right.
You can tell, because it took a bite, that its fire breath did not recharge this turn.
Oh, yeah.
This turn. Yes.
Okay.
Things are up in the air. We're looking forward to next quarter. the conference call for the stockholders meeting went very well received. And Taklak sees which way the wind is blowing and disengages and heads the same way that the other kobolds did.
Now, if I was the last one fighting him, is he disengaging from me?
When you use your disengage action, it just means no one can use an
just
attack.
Just no one can use. Okay,
you.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah, Zili, you have perhaps not had the most restful nap. It was very warm. It was snuggly, cozy, warm. Perhaps.
And then I woke up, and there's still a dragon here trying to kill us.
Yes, and
working on that.
So far as fire is concerned, you are still a fan, but. There might be an
maybe
asterisk.
Not so much of a fan when it's aimed at me.
Yeah, there's a little asterisk after the word fan. And some conditions apply.
All right. Standing from prone is...
It's half your movement.
Okay.
It's not considered an action.
But I don't get to move otherwise?
You could. It uses half of your movement. So I think your movement is 30?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means you could move another 15 feet if you wanted to. However, moving 15 feet would invoke an attack of opportunity.
I don't want to get attacked opportunistically. I'd really rather avoid getting attacked opportunistically.
It doesn't rate high on your list of things to have occurred. It's not on your bucket list.
Let's not mention bucket lists right now. Okay, so Zeely is going to get to her feet, sort of panting, and thank you, Daldane, thank you. And she draws her crossbow, which she has. All right, you horrible thing. All right, so the thing is, one of her metamagics lets her cast a spell that would usually take an action as a bonus action.
Okay.
And I don't think that I can cast two spells, but I think I can still fire a crossbow. I'm not sure.
If you have the sorcery points for it to cast a spell as a bonus action, you could then use an action and a bonus action. So that would allow you
I can still cast the spell? Oh, okay.
Hold on. Let's look at this character sheet. We're learning as we go. Okay, so we need to find where it says about sorcery points. You have three sorcery points that you can use. The question is, what can you use those sorcery points for? Because it varies depending on what you have selected.
Oh yeah, I have quickened spell. I just didn't know I could cast two spells.
Yeah, I'm looking for the directions for how quickened spell works to make sure we do this properly.
When you cast a spell that has a casting time of one action, you can spend two sorcery points to change the casting time to one bonus action for this casting.
Okay, well that means that's a bonus action spell. You still have your action available because spending sorcery points is a free action.
Okay, so in that case, no crossbow, because that means I can do this twice. So Zeely is going to she's standing up. All right, you horrible, horrible thing. Chromatic Orb! And she uses a second level spell slot to cast that, and she's going to do it as cold damage if she hits.
Okay.
And that's the bonus action one. Okay.
That's a hit.
I'm going to roll it again to see if I crit.
Wise.
I did not. Nope. That is not a crit. But that is a hit.
That's still 4d8 damage. Roll that beautiful damage.
Uh-huh. I did 26 points of damage.
Woof.
Wow. Oh, good.
That's a killing blow. How do you want to do this?
Oh, okay.
You kill the dragon.
So Zeely just... She continues sort of... Throw! And she throws the big blast of ice right into its chest, and well, it didn't take that well. It in fact took that really badly, because the ice goes spearing right into its chest. And it sort of starts freezing into a dragon.
It's kind of like it's frozen chili, where it's incredibly hot, but at the same time, it's frozen. it's a chili flavored popsicle.
Gox is poking at the frozen dragon to see how solid it is.
It's solid.
Poke. Hmm. Impressive.
And when all this is over, I am going to cut off this thing's wings, and I am going to have a dragon skin cape!
The dragon does not argue with you.
Yeah. Dragon cast, yeah.
And for the record, now, it's a young dragon. It's a wormling, but still dangerous.
Not anymore.
And now, Yeah. I still have an action because I used that thing. And so that means Zili is going to use it to go tearing down after, what's his name? Tac-Tac.
Tac-Lac. Okay.
Tac-Lac.
So you still have 15 feet of movement, and then you use your action on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that adds up
assuming
to 45.
Assuming he's not still seeable, that is.
Oh, yeah. He used his movement to get out of view quickly.
Yeah.
But you use movement and a half, because that's what you had, to run over to the tunnel. And when you get to the tunnel that Tac-Lac and the other four kobolds disappeared into, you do not see them at the end of your turn.
All right.
But how far point, we're going to drop out of initiative. There's no one to fight.
Ah, okay. There's no one to fight. All right.
Yes. Unless you want to beat up Tess, but Tess is not able to put up much of a struggle at this point.
Because his hands are still tied.
arms and legs are both tied strongly. Yes.
Okay, I'll go try to break those bonds again.
It's
before he breaks
for you
the
to
bonds,
do.
I would like to just go up and kick him a little bit.
Okay.
Roll d4 for damage.
Watch as I kill him at d4.
Oh, no.
One.
You managed to not kill him.
Okay, now I said free.
And as he's doing it, I will say, remember who saved you.
And then when I untie
he
his
sort
hands...
He bows his head and nods solemnly.
Yeah. Then I pick him up and sling him over my shoulder. The guy, okay, we go.
Yes. Yes. Let's...
Tess begins to say that he can walk, but then thinks better of it and just shuts up.
Okay. We go.
Let's go.
Okay. As you get... Which way do you go in? Do you go to Tessa's quarters and the not-so-secret door, or do you go to a different entrance?
The tunnel that they disappeared through.
If you go down that tunnel, you get to... remember when you were in the giant room with the stalagmite pillar?
Yeah.
This tunnel stops abruptly overlooking the underground river that's on the eastern side of that room.
I thought we were bringing him back.
This is the you said the tunnel that the others ran down. This is the tunnel that the others ran down.
Oh, right.
Let's come back the way we came.
He'll keep.
Good plan.
I have a Tac-Lac to hunt down.
Gox is perplexed because he wants to help. He wants to help Taz, who's probably not doing well, but he also really wants to fight some more.
Tac-Lac will keep. There's no danger after Dragon gone.
Yeah, he's definitely not a problem at the moment.
Fine.
And to be honest, I feel like I'm about to pass out.
Yeah, I'm really not feeling great.
And there's an odor between Sox and Zili that's having you debate talking meat.
Well, they're talking. That's no debate. They're talking.
Oh, because of the fire.
You're roasted. Yeah. You're well roasted.
We were cooked.
Let's go back and rest.
Okay.
Then we go after Claptrap.
Can I try to pick up my brother as well? Too?
I would definitely say that needs a strength check, and it might be contested.
Okay. All right. I'm going to roll a 20. I have a 19 on the dice. Okay.
Plus
Sox,
do you
contest this roll?
No.
Okay, so now carrying two kobolds, one over each shoulder. Okay, we go back now.
Sox is used to this with Gox around.
Okay. So which way are you getting back to the settlement? Through the not-so-secret door to Tessa's quarters or the other entrance that you found?
I look at Saladin because I think he's the leader. She's the leader. So.
Didn't we come in here through the mushroom room?
No.
No.
No. Oh. I totally misunderstood the direction you went then. Then we should go up the stairs to the door. I think.
The outside door?
No, there's that northern passage that goes to the door that we were familiar with.
Okay, I follow you.
Okay. So you'll be coming in down the main hallway that leads to the Cobalt settlement, as opposed to going in through the secret door where you just sort of pop out of Tessa's chamber and say, "Aha, we were here the whole time."
Right. We don't need to break Tessa's heart about his room quite yet.
You'll save that agonizing scream for later.
Yes.
Okay. As you get to the point where it's very obvious where you are, Tess doesn't recognize most of this area up until you get to right up to this door. Tess starts to struggle a little bit and really wants to be put down.
Quit wiggling. I'm gonna drop you.
I'm the leader. I can't be seen being carried like this.
Oh. Okay. Well, sit up on my shoulder and now, like,
Time for this argument?
Okay.
Tess agrees to the compromise.
Okay.
Like riding on your shoulders.
Okay.
I will open doors for Gox and Sox and Tess and Zeely.
Okay. As you enter the Cobalt settlement, the Cobalt see Tess. Most of them look happy to see Tess. And by happy, I mean... Oh, okay. well, we don't have to fight over who's getting his room now. That's a thing. And Tess says, "We have slain a dragon. The heroes have slain a dragon.
A big red dragon.
I saw it. It was real. It was real big.
See? He saw it. It was real. Mm-hmm.
As big as a house.
And Tess was wise enough to wait in the corner until we had the flip of it.
And now you know what a real sorcerer can do!
Okay, I start putting down both of the kobolds that I'm carrying because they're here now, so I just put them gently back on the ground.
And let us do all the work.
So Zeely's sort of stalking forwards in what she thinks is a triumphant manner, but considering that she only has 5 hit points, she's sort of actually wobbling around. But she's really, really, really proud of herself, and she thinks it's the heroic kind of injury, and that's her story, and she's sticking to it. Yeah.
And Sox. Don't get too close to the other kobolds until you've had a chance to take a rest.
Oh, right. Zeely casts prestidigitation to clean off her scales.
Okay.
The Slumans have this thing called barbecue.
What's a barbecue?
I think that's when you cook meat on a fire.
I must find this barbecue sometime.
It's like dragon breath, but on purpose.
Gox is now confused. He's pondering it.
One of the kobolds just nearby goes, "Pretty sure dragons don't breathe by accident."
Yes, but we're normally not in their well on purpose.
Oh. I don't get it.
Gox shrugs at him like, "I don't know."
All right. And that's where we're going to end it today.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for playing. Thank you for listening, those who listened. This was fun, and I've been joined by some awesome people. Chris, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Kari_mag, or on my podcast, which is Azeroth Coast to Coast. The website is azerothctc.com.
And Jen, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitch at Queen of Haiku, usually streaming D3 at odd hours and random moments. And my website is Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. It's got 2 podcasts, one of which has to do with Diablo 3, the other does not, and a bunch of other stuff.
And Ellie, do you have anything you want to plug?
You can find me in bed and at alec.xyz/@Noel.
And Io? Io's already gone to bed, I guess.
Yeah, that's
or is muted.
Oh, I don't have anything to plug.
Okay. That's all good. All right.
So long. Farewell.
I'll be doing goodbye. Copyright strikes. There are various playwrights that are really uptight about copyright. But never mind about that.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, we did Into the Woods a couple of years ago, and I wasn't even allowed to record it for in-house review. We did not have the rights to record at all. So that was fun. Meant less work for me, I guess. But tune in next week, 5-ish, 5:30-ish, and we'll do this again, probably. Maybe without the death save.
Still there?
Yeah.
The Discord thing changed from where it says voice connected to something yellow I couldn't quite read, and then it came back, so I guess it glitched or something. Yeah, I don't know. Never seen that happen before.
Glitch magic.
Yeah.
Well, we're wrapping up anyway, so I'm going to hit that shiny button. See you next week, everyone.
See
you next week.